Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, so I would like for you to turn with me to Psalm. We're going to begin with Psalm 139. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It is your word. We open it today as truth and guidance for our lives. So speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you believe the Bible to be truth? Do you believe this is the truth, nothing but the truth? So help us, God. Do you believe that this is truth? If you believe that the Word of God is truth, then you are in a growing minority, I'm afraid. Because this book has been under attack. It has been removed from every aspect as possible in our society. It has been renounced. But nonetheless, it is still truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. It is useful for teaching, for you to teach your children, for you to teach your grandchildren, for you to teach your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. It is useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There has been no book like this book in all of history. There has never been a book that even comes close to the number of copies that have been printed. There is no book that has withstood the test of time and attacks and as this book. For over 1,500 years, this book has been written. It's a collection of 37 Old Testament books, and 27 New, 66 books. Some of them letters, some of them history, some of them law, written by kings and farmers, fishermen, government officials, doctors, ordinary people from all walks of life. Over 1,500 years have been inspired by God, God-breathed. In some cases, God spoke to them directly through an angel, the angel of the Lord. Several of them were prompted to write what they had seen and heard, giving testimony. And yet, over 1,500 years, 40 authors, there's a singleness of thought that flows through. The Old Testament reveals to us a nation. The New Testament reveals to us a man. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament tells us of Jesus. It's incredible. Over 1,500 years, 40 authors, but yet a singleness of thought that all flows from the hand of God. God breathed. God inspired. But we have a choice to accept this book as truth or to deny it as truth. And it all begins with the first verse that says, "In the beginning, God." If you can accept that, you can accept all the rest. If you can't accept all the rest, then you haven't accepted the beginning. In the beginning, God. And so, you either accept it as truth or you deny it as truth. But many who accept it as truth live as if it is not truth. Hebrews 13, 7 to 8 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Jesus, He was the same yesterday. He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. Psalm 119:89. "Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. His word is firm. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. His word has already been given. His word has been presented. His word has been distributed, and it has been fixed firmly in the heavens. It will not change. So in regards to life, what does the Scripture teach us? What does the Scripture say about life? Genesis 1:27, "For God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created. He created him male and female. He created them." So where is the origin of life? Where does life come from? This has been a question that has been debated for years. Either in the beginning God created man and woman, or we evolved from, well, you can't say from nothing. There are those that have been teaching this theory as if it is fact. It has never been proven. This theory that we have evolved from, well, something. Where did that something come from? And to make it work, even possibly have a chance of working, you got to throw in millions, billions of years. It takes more faith when you look at the complexity of life, the complexity of you. It takes more faith to believe that you came about by random accident or choice or selection than by accepting a creator. It takes more faith to believe this theory than the truth of God's word. And so we have a decision to make. Am I going to trust the Word of God as truth? Or am I going to trust the Word of man? Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." That before, when? Before you were born, when you were in the womb, God attributed worth. God attributed value. God attributed purpose in the womb to every person. Isaiah 44:24, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself." no ambiguity. It's been settled that God formed us in the womb. He knew us in the womb. He attributed value and worth and purpose. He is the maker. He is the authority. It's not. You see, here's the deal for you and me. It's not your choice or my choice to decide. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. If you are in Christ, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, then you don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Because I belong to Him. And He is the final authority. What He says is truth. What He says goes. You see, we live in a world that says, I don't like God's rules. I don't like what God said is right and wrong because I can't seem to keep up. And I don't want to feel guilty. So rather than surrender my life, rather than admit that I'm a sinner and I'm guilty, I'd rather just change the rules to make it okay so I don't have to carry guilt in my life. And that's the world we're in that says we want to throw out God, and for years that foundation has been eroded in our education, in our public arenas. We throw out the Bible, we throw out God, so let's just throw out this foundation that God is the one who makes the rules, and if there is no God, there is no Bible, then we can make the rules. And that's what we've been living under for so many years. Throwing out God to make us feel better about ourselves. So it doesn't matter what we think. When you decide that God is God, when you decide that in the beginning God and His Word is inspired by our Maker, our Creator, that it is God's Word, God breathed, and when you decide I'm surrendering my life to Him, then you have no choice but to trust His Word, to accept His Word. You see, this battle for life is really about money. Even those early on in the abortion industry, and those doctors early on have changed. Many of them have changed their view over the years. Once science caught up with God, once science caught up with the Scriptures, and through ultrasound technology, and especially today with 4D ultrasound technology, many who had a view in the beginning have changed that view once they have understood that this is a person. You see, the only way to pass that legislation and to promote this industry is to convince people that this isn't life, that this isn't a person in the womb. Now, this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue, because there are Republicans and Democrats that are pro-life and those that are pro-choice on both sides. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual issue. A fight for life. To determine whether or not there is a God or not. Does God have the final authority or not? And it's all about money. And maybe when you vote, you think, this doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my life. Really, it does, more than you realize. where I'm just going to go with the flow, go with my family, go with the neighbors, go with my friends. I'm just going to go with the flow on this because I don't really know a whole lot about it. And so, or you may say, oh, I'm going to vote not necessarily about this issue, but I want to vote to put more money in my pocket rather than listen to what God says. And then it comes down to money again. We can't serve both money and God. We can't hold the two different values. James 4:4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's pretty strong. Friendship with the world is enemy with God. So we have to decide, am I with the world or am I with God? Am I with the world or am I with God? Exodus 21:22-23 says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life. That even today, if someone takes the life of a pregnant woman and the child, they're charged for double homicide. And according to the scriptures, it is life. It is life. Lee Strobel, he writes about a Sunday when the people were instructed, if you want to come forward and be baptized, if you want to be buried with Christ in baptism, before you go to the baptistry, we want you to take a piece of paper and write down the sin or few sins that you just are plagued with, you can't seem to overcome, or the guilt of a sin that you are carrying. Write it on that piece of paper, take it to the wooden cross that's on the stage today, and pin it to that cross as a symbol of your sins being washed away, nailed to the cross with Jesus. And a woman wrote and said, on that day, I had never been more afraid in my life. As I walked forward, I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote on there in small print, abortion. And I was afraid someone would see it, so I wrote it really small and I folded it up and I went and I nailed it to the cross. I pinned it to the cross. And then I was directed over to one of the ministers. And then I was sent back to prepare for my baptism. And when I went down to that water and I looked into the eyes of the minister there that was about to baptize me, I had this great fear come over me that he was going to share what I had written. That which I had kept secret for all these years from so many was now going to be revealed. But instead, I saw eyes of grace. I found forgiveness in those waters. I found God's grace. And every mistake was erased. The guilt was erased. My sin was erased. Heavenly Father, we have all sinned. You are the final authority on what is right and wrong, and we have all sinned and fallen short. And instead of choosing to move the line between right and wrong, we willingly admit, as your sons and daughters, that we have sinned. that we have blown it. And we acknowledge your word is truth. And we want to run away from sin and run to you. Thank you for going to the cross to take every sin. Thank you for erasing them as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for providing the way for us to be restored, made whole, forgiven, cleansed of all our mistakes and sins, lifted up as your sons and daughters. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Father, may we continue to carry your word with grace. May we share, stand on truth with grace. For we need a Savior. And we acknowledge his name is Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Maybe you have a decision to make. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.